Good morning and welcome to Trinity United Methodist Church. We're so thankful and blessed that you have chosen to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with us here this morning. Just to highlight a couple announcements on the back of your bulletin, if you will notice with me, that today if you are feeling God's leading to be a part of the newly forming lead team here at Trinity, the applications need to be turned in to me today by the end of this service. And also mark your calendars, all members of Trinity United Methodist Church, Thursday, October the 22nd, we will have our church charge conference at 7 right here at Trinity. Please make note of the other announcements and the other happenings here at Trinity, and as God's Spirit leads you, may you be involved. Let's bow our heads and our hearts and go before the Lord as we open this time of praise and worship. Oh, Heavenly Lord, we bless you and we thank you for this wonderful day. We thank you, merciful Father, for the breath of life. We thank you, precious Jesus, for the awesome opportunity to praise you, to extol you, to honor you, and to uplift your goodness here this morning. So, Father, we ask and we invite and we pray that you would meet with us here today, that your Spirit would quicken our minds and open our hearts, and just may our eyes see what you would have us to see. And above all, precious Jesus, may you be blessed, may you be glorified, may you be honored, and we pray this in the mighty and the wonderful name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.
So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. Amen. As we stand and get ready to praise our Lord, let's turn to our neighbor and say, I am so glad you're here today. There is so much power in the blood. There's so much the Lord wants to do for us. We just need to give it to him. He wants us to have abundant life. So remember that. Because what a day that would be when we get to meet him one day. What a day that will be.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in sky, no more tears to dim the eye, all is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that
as we bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord. What a wonderful, glorious thing you've done for us to allow us to have that chance to be with you one day, to be able to walk with you and talk with you. There'll be no more sorrows and no more sickness, Lord. No more pain. Nothing else that we have to worry about. It can all be wiped completely away with you. Lord, and you want that in our lives right now. You want us to have abundant life, not only for ourselves, but for our family, Lord. Father, and our church family. Have your way today in this service, Lord, and be in those lives of those people that really, really want you and yearn to have that relationship with you, Lord. And those that don't know you, Lord, allow them to come into this church and get to know you, because you're a wonderful, awesome God. In all things, we give you praise, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through sixth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you here this morning. And if you brought your Bibles, and I certainly hope you have, turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. And if you're utilizing the Pew Bible, you will find this morning's reading from God's Word on page 1,666. We'll be reading the first 10 verses out of the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. I'll be reading from the New King James Version, and so if you're utilizing the Pew Bible, that might be a little bit different, but follow along as we listen to a reading from God's Word, beginning in verse 1. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life, and that the life you have, it may be more abundantly." May God bless the reading of his word. As we continue this time of worship with the giving of our tithes and offerings, if the ushers would please come, may we give back a portion of what God has blessed us with.
Kind and gracious, ever-loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for all the many blessings that you so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of your blessings, Father, we placed on your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. This morning, continuing our series titled The Abundant Life. And I have to tell you that as I speak with many individuals each week and actually over the years, the one thing that I have found is that very few Christians truly experience the abundant life. Moreover, I'm even questioning whether or not believers understand how they can receive that. Jesus didn't say that he came that some of us would have that abundant life, but he came to say that we would have that abundant life. Now, sometimes when we are going through life, sometimes things aren't working, and we got to really start to focus and say, okay, if it's not working, maybe we need to change. Maybe we need to pivot. Maybe we need to say, hey, if this isn't working in my life, if I am not experiencing the abundant blessings that Jesus has for me, then maybe we need to analyze and assess exactly what it is that we're doing here in our life. And so this morning, we're going to find ourselves in the book of Colossians, and we are going to talk about our family's relationships. And I have to tell you that in my family has not always passed the white glove test. My family has had things that have touched it that I always grew up, and I thought, well, that happens in somebody else's family, but it doesn't happen in mine. And I'm here to tell you that things such as abuse and all kinds of horrible things have touched my immediate family. So I'm not standing up here saying that I don't understand. I'm standing here saying I get it. And in the midst of the tragedy, in the midst of the trial, you and I truly can experience the abundant life that Jesus came and He purchased and He bought to give to you and to me. And so it's not dependent upon our circumstances. It's not dependent upon our situation. It's not dependent upon the things that happen on the outside or that come to us in our life. What it's dependent upon is our heart. And we're going to find that. You see, the church at Colossae, they had a heresy, which is a false belief that was going on. And this false belief, it denied that Christ was the Son of God. It denied that Jesus was truly God's Son in the flesh and in the Spirit. And so all through the book of Colossians, the Apostle Paul seeks to address these things. And what I want us to understand is that he begins to say, we've got to get that right first. The passage we're about ready to read is one of the passages that are really abused and misused within church member families, because it deals with the relationship with husbands and wives. It deals with the relationship of, you know, children with their parents. And it's often ripped out of context. And so I just show that and share that as a understanding that if we don't understand what Jesus does, and I'll just share what he does, he changes everything. He transforms everything. He transforms our relationships. He transforms our heart. He changes our heart so that we don't act the same way that we did. He changes our motives for what we do. And we will get to that passage. That is a very difficult passage. But if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Now, if you take your own time and if you read Colossians chapter 1 and 2, you will see that the Apostle Paul, he penned this while he was in a Roman prison, and he penned all of the different elements proving and seeking to address why Jesus is the Son of God. And so in chapter 3, verses 12, and we're going to finish it all up of this chapter, follow along. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against you, another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Now here's a difficult passage. Wives, submit to your own husbands, as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men-pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ, but he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. I believe the Apostle Paul knew that he wasn't going to change society. And what I mean by that is in the Apostle Paul's day, a third of all people were slaves. I truly believe that he knew that if he focused on a societal issue, which we have the temptation to do in our world, with the same-sex marriage, with all kinds of the injustices that are before us, he knew that he would lose that battle. And yet he says, he looks and he focuses and he puts down the foundation. He also knew this. He knew that if he focused on the social ills, the social woes, and the societal issues of the day, he would not be successful. But he also knew that if he focused on Christ and Jesus changed the hearts of those people, then you would have these lights in the world of the families, of the family relationship, of what it should look like. I want us to notice three things. First, we need to notice the heart of God, and this is found in verse 14. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. You see, this is an imagery of getting dressed. Every morning when we get up, we get dressed before we leave the house. And we need to think of that in our spiritual journey as well. What do we put on spiritually before we leave the house? Are we putting on selfishness? Are we putting on those things that only accommodate unto us? You see, friends, if we put on love, we're truly putting on God. We're spending time. Last week, I challenged all of us to get up 15 minutes early and spend that time with Christ. That's putting on love. That's putting on God. That's meeting God in your heart. That's meeting God in your soul. And when you do that, friends, this is what happens. Everything changes. It all changes. Because then, when someone doesn't get the door for you, it's not so much. It's saying, hey, you didn't do this for me. It's saying, I wonder what they have going on in their life. And you know who we're the most difficult and the hardest on? Those that we live with. Those in our own family. Those ones that we live with. Our families, our spouses, our children, our cousins, our aunts, our uncles. And trust me, I can attest this day that if you put on love, if you meet with Christ, it will change you each day. And then when you have a difficult family member, I can attest to you because I've done it. I have done it with immediate family members, and it has transformed the relationship that I have with my immediate family. Hear that. But you got to put on love, and that's the heart of God. He's saying, I want you to stop wasting so much time, so much energy, so much emotions upon all these petty little things, and get to the core, get to the root of what's really important. And you know what's important? People. People are important. Your family is important. I meet with people all the time. And it just blows my mind how much time, how much effort, how much energy, how much, you know, emotions and all the things that they waste because they're stuck in themselves. And so, friends, the heart of God is that we got to put on love. We must put on love because God is the one who wants the best for us. And I want the best for us, too. Now, I'll attest that the family relationships that I have in my family, they're not the way that they should have been, nor will they ever be. However, God has transformed them. He has renewed them. He has resurrected these broken family relationships, and he has brought reconciliation to me and those other individuals. And I'm not talking just one or two or three. I'm talking several. I'm talking about having a family that was fractured upon fracture. And so if you put on love, which is God's heart for you, it's what he wants for you. He is the only one who can bind all things together in harmony. Notice that. And so we've got to stop. We have to stop. Stop investing the effort and the energy and the strength in trying to do what we think we can do. It's only God that can do that, friends. It's only God that can bring about reconciliation. And so we stop the madness. And I'll just say that. You stop the madness. You quit. You give up. And you lay yourself at your feet, at Christ's feet, and say, I give up. I can't do it anymore. And that's how you put on God. You put on love. You see, God is the one who provides the peace to rule our hearts. And we need to understand that. Because when we offer our own efforts and our own strength, our own ability. We are seeking to implement what we think we know that to be best. And God's the only one that can bring about peace. And we need to understand that's His heart. He doesn't want to see families being fractured and ripped apart. No, but we have the answer. Jesus said, I have come that you will have and you may have. You can circle that may, that three-letter word. It's the realm of possibility. And you know who that depends upon? Depends upon me and you. How we interact, how we deal with it. If we decide to get up in the morning and 15 minutes early and put on Christ and put on God and say, I'm committing to this, because then when we commit to that, not just once or twice or three times or four times, not just 1 week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, not just 1 month or 2 months or 3 months, but it becomes a consistent lifestyle, you will be transformed. Every relationship you have will be transformed. And I have had relationships in my family where people have been very hardened. And what happens when you stay with it, when you stick with it, they begin to soften. And they begin to soften not because of what you do, but because of what you put on spiritually, and that's God, and that's love. And when you put love on, you interact with them differently. You honor them, you respect them, you treat them as if you would want to be treated. And because of that, they begin to soften. And when they soften, it's an amazing, amazing thing. It's amazing. But you got to stop. Stop the madness. Draw that line in the sand and say, you know what? What I've done, it's not working clearly, so therefore I've got to try something else. And I'll tell you this, no matter what you try in your own ability, strength, power, or in your own control, it won't work until you go here and you place yourself at the feet of Christ, as we looked at last week, and you say, God, I need your love. I need you in my life. And this is God's heart. He'll bless you with it. He'll give it to you. And then you can walk in that abundance of life. The second thing that we need to notice out of this passage is the connection of God. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We can stop right there. You know, when you have broken, fractured family relationships, you know where we tend to settle in our own mind, our own soul? We settle in our thought process of, she did this, he did that. I can't believe my sister, my brother, they could not even come here today. And it's all about us, us, us. You see, when we stop the madness, and then the next step is to sit. This is the same thing as last week. You sit at God's feet, at Jesus' feet, and you allow His word to wash over you. You begin to transform your thought process. And now you're not focused on what injustices you have suffered. You're focused upon them. And a crazy thing will happen, friends. And it happens here in our hearts. Because it's not about getting what we want or doing what we think we should do. It's about God changing your heart and mind. And then we begin to see that other person in a whole new light. I meet with people all the time. And the same core is right here. You stop the madness. Apparently, you know, I met with someone not too long ago, and I looked at him and I said, hey, you know what? Apparently what you've been doing hasn't been working. And they looked at me and they said, why not? I said, because it got you talking to me. If it was working, you wouldn't be talking to me, right? Am I wrong? It got them there. And this was just a week ago. And so, you know, the fact of the matter is, if somebody's talking to me, they're trying to figure it out. And you know, the reality is we need to understand we've got to do something different if we want the abundant life that Jesus said that we may have. And it's stopping that madness. It's sitting at His feet and allowing Him to connect to us through His Word, and to allow His Word to mold and to change us through what we read, how we pray. And friends, God promotes the new reality in our life. And that's how. It's not about doing or going. It's about stopping the insanity. It's about stopping. It's about changing. It's about stopping and then sitting. And friends, when we do that, the abundant life will begin to take shape, and it won't be in the other person. It will be in your heart and mine. I've lived it. The third thing that we can notice is the call of God. In verse 17 says this, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And this is God's call. No matter what you do, whether it's in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, in family relationships, we're so close and we often take our families for granted. And because of that, we say things that we wouldn't say to another person. And then we have hurt on hurt and we have that fracturedness that comes in. And then in all reality, we're not saying what we would say to Christ Jesus. And that's where the rubber meets the road. And then it breaks down further and further and further and further. See, this is where God calls us to serve. He calls us to stop. He calls us to sit at His feet. And then He calls us to serve. He wants you and me to experience His peace in our families. Know that. But we've got to be at peace before we can experience the peace in our families. If our hearts aren't at peace, if we're so consumed with what we didn't get and what our families didn't do for us, if we're so driven by getting our own agenda pushed past somebody else in our own household, then we are not at peace, friends. We'll never be at peace until we stop and sit. And then, and only then, peace begets peace, friends. Know that. Your heart, when it's at peace, you know what it does? It begets peace in another person. The peace in your hearts, it will beget peace in an animal, and I'm not being silly here. Animals and people, they sense what's going on in our hearts. And if our hearts are unsettled, and if they're unsure, and if they're, you know, angry at one another, then we are going to beget more of that in our relationships. But when we come before Christ, and He changes our heart and fills our heart with peace. Meaning that, you know what, we are going to say it stops here. It stops with me. And we are stopping the madness, the insanity. And then we choose and we make that conscious choice to sit at God's feet. Then our hearts become more filled with His peace. And that will produce peace in others. Every single time. Please know that. And that's His call to you and to me. He wants that for you. He wants that for me. I want that for you. I want that for you. Because that's what God wants. The abundance in your families. To say, you know what? And as I mentioned weeks ago, acknowledgement of someone does not mean you accept their lifestyle. Hear that, friends. You can acknowledge someone with the love of God, but you don't have to accept their behaviors. And you can allow them to see the light of Christ in your life and the change and the transformation that God is making in your heart and soul. Know that. And don't think that I haven't walked through that. I had a close family member that went through a whole phase, and I will not say what it was. And every single time that I was around them, I would give them a hug, and I would whisper in their ear, I don't care what you do. It's not going to change my love for you. I didn't focus on the actions. And that's what we do. We focus on the external actions. And over time, with that close family member, it began to fade away. And it began to soften their heart. And because of that, it wasn't about the externals. It was about the heart. It was because my heart was at peace that produced peace in them. And so don't think that not just because I haven't had a wife and kids that I don't understand. I've dealt with a lot of things. A lot of things. And I'm not saying because my close family members have come out on the other side that they are the way they are because it's my family. Because no, I'll call it what it is. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's my family, it's wrong. However, I also know that we produce different things in our family relationships based upon what the condition of our heart is. And if our heart is messed up, it's going to produce that in other people. And so we stop and we sit and then we serve. And friends, this is exactly where we go in that whole awful passage that gets abused and misused and mistreated because people rip it out. And this is what the Apostle Paul was saying. I can't transform society. I can't change the whole of society. And newsflash, neither can we. But you know what we can do? We can have families that are the light of God. We can have families that are the light of God shining in the midst of a dark society. And that's what the Apostle Paul's message is for you and for me. Because when Jesus came and he died on Calvary and he laid down his life for you and for me, he purchased the right and the ability to transform or to change your heart, to change my heart, to bring us from that darkness into the light. And when he does that, friends, he changes everything. Hear that. That's his call. He wants you and me to allow him to change our hearts. Some of us might be still stuck in our own thought process of, but you don't understand what my brother or sister did. No, I don't. But I also understand if you're stuck there, you'll never experience the abundant family that God wants you to experience. How much time, how much energy, how much is it costing you to stand there and stay there and say, this is my right. This is where I was offended. This is where I was mistreated. How much time, how much emotion, how much energy is it really costing you? If you really start to think about it, a whole lot more than what you think. Because when your thoughts are consuming you, and they will, friends, but when the time you get up till the time you go to bed, when you're driving down the road, when you're watching TV, something will spark a thought in your mind and you'll be thinking, I can't believe he, I can't believe she. And you fill in the blank. We've all done it. Guilty. The call of God is he wants to change your heart and mind. He wants to not only change your heart and mind, he wants to change your family relationships and mine. And I've experienced that, friends, firsthand. I've experienced it. And even when you think that what you're doing and meeting with God, it's not making a hill of beans a difference, friends, you don't stop. You don't quit. You keep on praying. You pray, pray, and pray. And then when you don't think you can pray anymore, you pray. But you determine in your mind, it stops with me. And you sit at the feet of Christ. And then you begin to serve them. And I don't know if you noticed. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to God. Notice the qualification. Husbands, do not be bitter towards your wife, meaning love them. You see, there should be this synergy of serving one another within the home of husbands and wives and children. Obey your parents. And friends, if we are serving one another, the one thing that I've found over the years is this. If you have two people, I don't care the context or the relationship, that are serving one another, there's never any disagreement. Never. That's how God will transform our homes. And the call is this, is to experience the purposeful and fulfilling family relationships. So friends, I don't know where you're at this morning, but I do know what Jesus purchased and bought for you and for me. And he purchased on Calvary that we don't have to be the same way that the world says that we need to be. He purchased the right for us to be children of God. He purchased and redeemed us and bought us back from a life of misery so that we can experience a life of peace and love and tranquility. He purchased that. And it's up to us whether or not we receive it. And if you want to receive it, you stop, you sit at his feet, and then you serve those ones that you might even be thinking are unlovely, that are unservable, but friends, the scriptures attest that even when we were enemies of God, Jesus came. And so as Jesus came, when we were at his enemy, we were his enemy, he came and loved us. May we love others and start with our families in such a way that it is befitting of the Lord Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace. Jesus, we thank you for Calvary, for what you did to buy us back from a life of futility, a life of madness. Gracious Jesus, we just ask you for your strength, for your mercy, for your love, for your peace, that you would just give us those things, that we might draw that line in the sand and stop the insanity, to accept our role in this. And Father God, we pray that we would be disciplined and diligenced enough to sit at your feet, to receive and to allow your word to dwell in our hearts richly, so that our thoughts will be upon what you would have us to think. And Father, may you give us the courage and the boldness to serve those, even when they don't want to receive it, but to serve them out of what we receive from you. And so, Jesus, may we truly experience the abundant family that you have for all of us. We love you and we thank you. We praise you and honor you in the holy name of Christ, our risen Savior, we do pray. Amen.
God really does want us to have abundant life. So know these altars are open. If you carried anything with you and you just want to give it to God, or if you want to experience that abundant life and just praise God for what he's done. Because with everything, he is an awesome God. He wants us to have the very best of the best.
Your love is like radiant diamonds bursting inside us. We cannot contain. Your love will surely I'm
Now, as we close here this morning, may the God of all peace bless you and keep you. May his love saturate your soul, and may his truth just permeate the center of your being. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may you and I truly depart and be blessed and experience the abundant life that Christ has bought and purchased for you and for me. Go in peace. Amen.